സ്ത്രീ ശുദ്രധ്വജ ബന്ധുനാങ് ത്രൈനാശ്രുതി ഗോത്ര കാർമ്മശ്രേയസി മൂഢാനാം ശ്രേയ ഏവം ഭവേദിഹ ഇതി ബാലതമാഖ്യാനാം കൃപയാ മുനിനാ കൃതം. Out of compassion, the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses of people, thought it wise to edit the Vedas so they might be assimilated by less intellectual persons. This would enable them to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled the great historical narration called Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born. Mahabharata Part 2, Chapter 1, The Armies Prepare. Section 1, entitled, Therefore I Will Play No Part in the War. After installing Dhrishtadyumna as his commander-in-chief, Yudhisthira and his generals consulted Krishna. They had heard that Duryodhana had requested Bhishma to be the Kuru's commander-in-chief, and that Bhishma had accepted. Yudhisthira then asked Arjuna to be his army's chief general, working immediately under Dhrishtadyumna. Yudhisthira wanted to ensure that Arjuna's incomparable expertise was utilized fully in the battle. The seven divisions of the Pandava army were then placed under their seven commanders. As the Pandavas were speaking about the arrangements, Balaram arrived. The Lord entered Yudhisthira's tent in the company of Akura, Uddhava, Samba, Prajumna, and other leading personalities from Dwaraka. In his blue garments, garlanded by golden flowers, Lord Balaram looked as majestic as Mount Kailas. Krishna stood to greet him, and all the kings did the same. They worshipped him with affection. Yudhisthira took Balaram's hands and greeted him warmly, showing him to a fine seat. After Balaram had saluted elders, such as Drupada and Virat, the Lord took his seat and said, Many men are about to be slaughtered. Surely fate has ordained it, and therefore it cannot be avoided. It is the hour of death for all these Kshatriyas. The earth is about to become a mass of clay thickened with flesh and blood. I hope you heroes will emerge alive and well. Repeatedly did I request Krishna to act equally toward both Kauravas and Pandavas, but he chose to favor you. Krishna looked at his elder brother and smiled. Balaram glanced across at him as he continued to speak. Keshava has set his heart upon your interests, and especially the interests of Dhananjay. Your victory is assured because Krishna desires it. I cannot at any time act separately from him. Therefore, I will play no part in the war. Both Duryodhan and Bhima are my pupils at mace fighting, and both are equally dear to me. I cannot bear to fight against either. Therefore, I have decided to leave the area and go on pilgrimage to the holy places, because I know I would not be able to sit by and watch indifferently while the massacre goes on. Balaram stood up and placed his helmet on his head. Taking leave of Krishna and the Pandavas, he left, followed by the Yadavas who had come with him. Part 2. Rukmi rejected. Soon, the Pandavas received another visitor. It was Rukmi, King Bhishmaka's son and Krishna's brother-in-law. He arrived with a full Akshauhini division of warriors. In order to please his sister Rukmini, he had decided to offer his assistance to her husband Krishna's side. Twanging his bow, he strode into Yudhishthira's tent, where the Pandavas received him respectfully. Rukmi then said, "O great ruler, if you are afraid at the prospect of war with the Kurus, then I am here to help you. There is no one who can match my prowess. Your enemies will not be able to bear my might. Whatever part of their army you allot to me as my share will be ground into the earth. Even Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa cannot face me. I will defeat the Kurus and deliver unto you the earth." However, Arjuna could not tolerate Rukmi's proud speech. Indeed, Arjuna laughed. "I was born in the Kuru race. I am Pandu's son and Drona's pupil, and I have Keshava's assistance. So how can I be afraid of the enemy? Oh, Rukmi, when I faced the Gandharvas, who was my friend at that time? When I fought the furious Danavas in the netherworlds, who came to my aid? Then again, in the battle with the Kurus in the Matsya kingdom, who was my helper? Nah, I am not afraid, Rukmi. We have no need of your help. Go wherever you please, or stay here if you like. Either way, we will fight with the Kurus and win." Seeing the other warriors agreeing with Arjuna, Rukmi scowled. Taking up his bow, he marched out of the tent without a word. He then took his soldiers to Duryodhan. If the Pandavas did not want him, then he would fight with the Kauravas. At least he had offered his help to Yudhishthira first. Actually, he was just as happy to fight for Duryodhan. After all, Rukmi still remembered his sister Rukmini's wedding day, in which he was supposed to marry Shishupal. Krishna had come and kidnapped Rukmini, and Rukmi had then chased Krishna and fought with him, only to be defeated and humiliated. Maybe now he could exact his revenge. Going before Duryodhan, Rukmi repeated the same words he had used when speaking to Yudhishthira. "Do not be afraid of the Pandavas, O King Duryodhan, for I am here to help you." Duryodhan also rejected him. "I have no need of your help," he laughed. "What fear do I have of the Pandavas? Surrounded as I am by the world's greatest heroes, and being a mighty warrior myself." Rukmi then left the Kauravas and returned home, deciding to play no part in the war. If no one wanted his help, then he would not fight. Let them annihilate one another without him. Part 3. Duryodhan's message for the Pandavas. After Rukmi left, Duryodhan summoned his counselors. He had Shakuni's son Uluka come as a messenger to the Pandavas. Assured of his superior position, the prince Duryodhan wanted to mock his enemies and show his contempt for their so-called army. Duryodhan said, "O Uluka, go to the Pandavas and speak these words within Krishna's hearing. The time has now come for action. What we have expected for a long time is finally come to pass. We are about to fight a frightful war between ourselves, and you, Krishna, are the cause. Prove now the truth of all those boastful words you sent through Sanjay. Let us see your actual power." Duryodhan's black eyes narrowed. Standing up as he spoke, he pointed towards Uluka. "And then, also say this to Yudhishthir. How do you pose as a virtuous man, O descendant of Bharat? You now desire to destroy the world for the sake of wealth? One who presents himself as pious while secretly concealing wicked intentions is said to be like the cat in the famous story of old. Listen to the story my father heard from Rishi Narada." Once there was a cat who went to the Ganges. Standing on the bank with upraised paws, the cat said, "I shall practice virtue." After some time, the birds began to trust him and even praise him for his devotions. That cat continued with his austerities, and in due course the mice also saw the cat's peaceful demeanor and long-time pious practices. They then decided to take shelter of him, although he was naturally their enemy. They said, "We seek your protection. You are our only refuge. You are our best friend. Be like an uncle to us and save us from our antagonists. You are virtuously inclined and have adapted a pious course." The cat reluctantly agreed. "I will do what I can for you, but I need your help as well. My austerities have made me so weak that I cannot move. Therefore, some of you must assist me to reach the riverside each day so that I can bathe." The mice agreed to this and began to live around the cat. Every day a number of them would go to the river with him, and the cat would eat them one by one. Thus the cat grew fat and strong, and while the mice diminished in number. Soon they realized what was happening. One wise mouse among them pointed out that an animal living on fruits and roots cannot have hairs in its feces. The wise mouse concluded, "This cat only makes a show of devotion. His real business is eating mice." Then the mice all fled in all the directions, and the wicked cat also went back to where he had come from. O Yudhishthira, you are behaving in the same way toward your own kinsmen. Your words mean one thing, but your acts are quite different. Give up your disguise as a gentle and harmless man. Come out and fight like a true Kshatriya. Dry your mother's tears by winning victory in battle, if you can. Remember our former antagonism, the poison, the lack house, the insult to Draupadi. Now, show us your real strength. Duryodhan then laughed. He derided the Pandavas in various ways, mocking their power while praising his own. He reminded them of all the vows they had taken. Now the Pandavas should try to fulfill them. Duryodhan next remembered Krishna's universal form, which he had exhibited when he visited Hastinapur. Tell Vasudev that his display of illusion does not scare me. Why, I too can show many forms. But what is the use of such things? O Keshava, come in that mystical form to the battlefield, and we will see what difference it will make. I know your power, and I know Arjuna's power as well. I know the Gandiva bow and the inexhaustible quivers Arjuna holds, as well as about the fiery chariot Agni gave him with its celestial banners. Still, I challenge you. Indeed, I could face 1,000 Krishnas and 100 Arjunas and still have them flee in all directions. Even knowing everything about your power, I shall deprive you of your kingdom without fear. Duryodhan began to pace as he delivered his arrogance message. Karna, Dushasan, and Nishakuni cheered Duryodhan's brave speech and encouraged him to say more. Duryodhan reminded the Pandavas of the dice game and their exile at his hands. Is this not sufficient proof of my superiority? Bhima must have been tired as he cleaned pots in Virata's kitchen. Arjuna wore bangles and braided hair. Yudhishthira became Virata's servant. These are the ways a Kshatriya punishes others weaker than himself. I have no fear of the Pandavas, nor of Krishna, nor of any of the fools who have chosen to fight beside you. I will not return even the smallest part of your kingdom. Uluka memorized every word in the mood with which it was spoken, although Duryodhan spoke for almost an hour. Finally, Duryodhan concluded, "Let the battle begin tomorrow. Then you will see your folly. Like a frog in a well who cannot know the ocean, you cannot know how vast are my forces. One who wishes to defeat Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa would be able to rend a mountain with his head or swim across an ocean. When you see the Kuru forces assembled like a great sea, then will your desire for the kingdom disappear. All thoughts of ruling this world will vanish. Like a man who has never practiced devotion yet desires heaven, so is your hope for winning this kingdom. Tomorrow we will see who should be the earth's rightful ruler." Part 4. Krishna and Pandava's message for Duryodhan. Duryodhan then told Uluka to deliver the message at once. Uluka mounted his chariot and rode over to the Pandavas' camp, with Duryodhan's words still ringing in his head. He knew his message would incite the Pandavas' fury, and he approached Yudhisthira with apprehension. "Please, see me only as an envoy, as a messenger. Knowing the law in relation to envoys, do not become angry when you hear my words. I will only speak what Duryodhan has told me to say, and nothing more." Yudhisthira smiled and showed Uluka to a seat in his tent. "Do not fear. You may speak freely. Tell us what the small-minded Duryodhan, driven by greed and lacking in foresight, tell us what he says." Uluka looked around the tent. All the Pandava chiefs were present, with their bright armor and colorful silks. They resembled glowing planets decorating the firmament. They were all watching him and waiting for the message. When Uluka had finished, the Pandavas leaped up from their seats. Speechless with rage, they stared at each other and ground their teeth. Their breath came in hot blasts, and they seemed like infuriated serpents. Bhishma's eyes turned red, and he looked across at Krishna. Krishna laughed and said, "Oh, Uluka, go back to your master. Tell him we have heard his message and understand its meaning very well. Let it be as he says. The battle will begin tomorrow." Having heard Duryodhan's abusive words, the assembly of kings resembled the storm-tossed ocean. They rose up roaring and slapped their arms. Rubbing his hands together, Bhima roared, "Oh, fool! We have heard your words, intended to rouse us to action, as if we were weak and inactive. Uluka, carry my reply back to your master." "Oh, Duryodhan, only due to respect for our elder brother have we tolerated you for so long. The virtuous Yudhisthira has offered peace. You have refused. Pushed by your own fate, you now desire to meet Yamaraj himself. The battle will certainly begin tomorrow. I have vowed to slay you and all your brothers. Do not doubt my power to carry out this vow. The ocean may transgress its banks, the mountains may split asunder, but my words will not prove false. Oh, you of little sense, not even the gods and demons combined can save you now. I will drink Dushasan's blood and grind the rest of the Kauravas into the earth. Any Kshatriya approaching me in anger will go at once to the abode of death. I swear by my soul that I speak the truth." Sahadev then stepped forward. "Tell this to that fool, who gives you orders. Only because of you has this dispute arisen. You were born for the destruction of your own race, and indeed of the world. Goaded on by Shukuni, you have always acted with evil intentions toward us. You will soon be slain by me, right in front of all your warriors. Duryodhan's message was creating quite a tumult in the Pandavas' tent. The kings and warriors shouted and waved their weapons at Uluka. Arjuna calmed them. Then Arjuna turned to Bhima and said, "O Bhimasen, be patient. Those who have made you their enemy will soon be destroyed. Nothing can save them. There is no need to rebuke Uluka. He is only an envoy, only a messenger. What fault can a messenger commit? The words he spoke were not his own." Arjuna then looked at all the assembled kings. "You have all heard Duryodhan's foul speech, directed even toward Krishna. With your permission, I will now give my response." By now, Uluka was trembling. Arjuna said, "Tell Duryodhan, tomorrow you will have my reply delivered by the Gandiva bow. Only eunuchs use words." Arjuna then took a seat by the side of Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira then said, "I have heard your master's words, Uluka. Tell him this in reply. O fool, you have ever adopted an evil course with us. Although you lack power, you now challenge us to war. Depending on others' prowess, you utter threats. A real Kshatriya fights his enemies depending upon his own power. Since you are unable to do so, why do you roar so much?" Seeing that Yudhisthira had finished, Uluka rose from his feet to depart. Krishna checked him. "Also say this to Duryodhan. O sinful one, you think that I shall be of no consequence in this war as I will not fight? Do not make such a miscalculation. I will act as Arjuna's charioteer, and you will see him everywhere destroying your forces, just as fire burns dry grass. Even if you go beyond the three worlds or enter the nether regions, you will see Arjuna's chariot there tomorrow. You also think Bhima has indulged in idle threats? But you should now consider that he has already drunk Dushasana's blood. Neither Yudhisthira nor his brothers are in the least afraid of you. For you are strong only in talk." As Krishna stopped speaking, Arjuna leaped to his feet. He was not satisfied with the curt response he had given to Duryodhan. He spoke again. "Tell this to your master. O worst of men, having installed Bhishma as your commander, you are boasting that Arjuna and his brothers will never attack him. But I will make him my first target." Arjuna's voice seethed with restrained rage as he went on. Although the worshipful grandfather's senses are under control, and although he possesses great wisdom, he has taken your side and chosen to die. I will not hesitate to direct my arrows toward Bhishma. Oh, Duryodhan, your hopes are all in vain. You are arrogant, harsh, inhuman, addicted to vice, partial, and you detest virtue. You will soon receive the consequences of your nature. When I am angry, and when I have Krishna as my second, what hope can you have for success? Your relatives will soon lament your death. When you are struck down by Bhima, you will then recall your foolishness. When Arjuna sat down, Uluka bowed before Yudhishthir, anxious to depart. Reassuring him, Yudhishthir said, Uluka, say this to Duryodhana as well. You have judged me improperly. I do not desire to harm even worms or ants. What to speak of my relatives? I was thus prepared to accept only 5 villages in order to avoid this war. It is only due to you that this calamity has now arisen. For you are a man of meager understanding. Overpowered by lust, you could not accept Krishna's advice, and for that reason you rant like one deprived of his senses. What is the use of your words? Come out and fight along with all your friends. Death awaits you. Bhima wrung his hands together and breathed heavily. Although he would have accepted a peaceful solution to the conflict, he could not deny his joy at the prospect of finally confronting the sinful Kauravas. Uluka's message had stoked his long-cherished anger to the point of distraction. But he would have to wait until tomorrow morning. It would be a long night. Suppressing his rage, Bhima spoke again to Uluka, but this time even more harshly. Uluka, this is my final word to Duryodhan. O sinful one, either remain in Hastinapur or lie in the belly of a vulture. Those are the only choices left for you now. I swear by truth itself that my words made in the council hall will come to pass. I will drink Dushasan's blood and I will smash your thighs. Know me as the death of all Dhritarashtra's sons. As Uluka turned and bowed to the assembled kings, Drishyadyumna's words rang out. O Uluka, tell Duryodhan that I was born to kill Drona. He and all of his followers will die at my hands. There is no doubt about this. What more need I say? Uluka went out of the tent backwards, bowing from the waist with his palms folded. He ran over to the chariot and leaped abroad, urging his horses back to the Kaurava camp. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.